Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on iHeart and Radio MD, of course. We have a great guest for you today. This is segment 902B. It is about Genius Foods, and Max Lugavere is our guest for today, the author and a former guest on the Dr. Oz Show, as well as many other things, a TEDx speaker. He lives in both New York and Los Angeles, which makes it tough for him to be a genius, since commuting back and forth is obviously difficult. Max, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Dr. Roizen. Thanks for having me.
So the book became a New York Times bestseller, and one of the points you make in the book is if we only have one food, one food to make our brain better, and I'm going to ask you what you mean by better. Is it smarter or not just falling into dementia? But you mentioned the one food. Let's go and first answer the question. Do we make our brains better, or is it just we prevent decline?
You know, I do. That's a great question. I do think that we make our brains better. You know, we enhance the functioning of our brains by, in part, reducing inflammation. A brain functioning in a low inflammation environment is truly a brain functioning at its best. And when I say at its best, I mean a brain that is more happy, happier, that's less anxious, that is functioning quicker, that is able to be engaged more easily and focused more easily. And so, you know, we now know that many of the conditions burdening modern society are inflammatory in origin. But even without there necessarily being a disease state present, inflammation can still rob us of our optimal cognitive performance, essentially.
Go and talk about that. You say the one food, and I guess people would debate, is it DHA or is it coffee? And you choose leafy greens. Tell us why.
Well, dark leafy greens have so many things going for them. For one, they are the pinnacle of what we call nutrient density in the supermarket. And this is because they've got very few calories, but they've got a ton of nutrients. And we now know that 90% of Americans, if you're listening to this, you know, 9 in 10 listeners are going to be deficient in at least one essential nutrient. But dark leafy greens contain an abundance of the very nutrients we know that we're not getting. And what they do is they provide our brains with essential elements that are required to basically repair against aging. So when you look at dark leafy greens, they're green because of a compound called chlorophyll. And chlorophyll contains magnesium. 60% of the U.S. population is not getting adequate magnesium, but magnesium is so important. It's actually used in 300 enzymatic processes in the body that range from generating energy, so like the energy to get up off your couch and go and seize the day, to actually mopping up against some of the insults that occur over time and that we think are responsible for aging itself. So it's a wonderful way to check off many of your nutritional boxes by simply eating a large salad every single day. And in fact, this has been studied by researchers at Rush University who found that people who eat a large bowl of dark leafy greens like kale, spinach, arugula, romaine lettuce every single day, well, Dr. Roizen, they have brains that look up to 11 years younger on scans. 11 years younger. There's no pharmaceutical drug that you can take that's going to reverse the aging of your brain by 11 years. But when it comes to cognitive tests, you know, people that embrace these big salads every single day seem to be doing very well from a brain health standpoint.
Now, in addition to that salad, you could put in it walnuts, or you could add salmon or other things that contain DHA. So, and you could have it with coffee. Are all those good? And do you recommend them in Genius Foods?
Absolutely. So. DHA, which you mentioned, is one of the most important structural building blocks of the brain. This is important because we know that your brain can can grow new brain cells up until death. And we can kind of encourage this process called neurogenesis with physical exercise. But the key is to provide our brains with the building blocks, right? When you're going to build a building or a house, you need the raw materials to create the walls and the flooring and all that stuff, right? So DHA is literally the most important building block for your brain to construct those healthy, new, vibrant brain cells. And DHA is found in foods like fatty fish. So wild salmon is a great example of this. Sardines are another good example in terms of fish. But DHA is also found in appreciable amounts in the fat of grass-fed beef and omega-3 enriched eggs. So when it comes to that salad, yeah, I'm trying to put in some fatty, you know, wild salmon or maybe some grass-fed is very important, sliced beef or maybe even an egg or two.
Yeah, so I'll take issue with you on the egg yolks and the grass-fed beef since they are two of the most inflammatory foods we have. But we can talk about that later and we'll get to it a little later. Let's go first talk a little bit about coffee now. In addition, talk to us about coffee and maybe extra virgin olive oil, which we can have the coffee with the salad and the extra virgin olive oil on the salad.
Absolutely. So when it comes to inflammation, extra virgin olive oil, I like to say, is nature's Advil. It's a natural anti-inflammatory thanks to a phenolic compound in it that you don't have to remember, but needless to say, it's been shown to be as anti-inflammatory as low-dose ibuprofen. So when I eat the salad, I'm reaching for extra virgin olive oil, and I'm using it liberally. You know, we, over the past couple of decades, have been told to fear fat. But, you know, we now know that fat is essential for life. And so, you know, it's really, it becomes about picking the healthy fat. There's good fats, there's bad fats. But extra virgin olive oil really seems, from a myriad of really good studies at the population level down to randomized control trials and even animal studies, that extra virgin olive oil seems to make our bodies really happy because of its ability to reduce inflammation and to really speak to our genes in a powerful way. You know, food is information. We evolved with food, and humans have been making extra virgin olive oil for thousands of years. This is not the case with many of the oils that now saturate our food supply. You know, corn oil, canola oil, soybean oil. We've only been making these types of food oils for the past 100 years because they require laboratories to make them. But extra virgin olive oil you make essentially by squeezing an olive. And the research on it is really compelling. So I consider extra virgin olive oil, it's essentially the chief oil that I use in my kitchen.
So we're talking with Max Lugavier, who is the author of Genius Foods, and is a filmmaker, health and science journalist, and has written this book that has been a bestseller. So we're talking now about extra virgin olive oil. The other oil you mentioned strongly in the book, at least as I read it, is avocado oil. And one of the things that we've seen advertised, and I want you to comment on that, if you will, is the combination of avocado oil and extra virgin olive oil for cooking. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Sure thing. Well, avocado oil is also a very healthy oil. And similarly to extra virgin olive oil, it's made via one step. You basically crush an avocado. And so, you know, I one of the things that I say that I think people find funny, but it couldn't be more true, is that nature doesn't make unhealthy fats. Humans do. And so avocados and extra virgin olive oil, these are both very healthy fats. And when it comes to cooking, many people actually believe that you can't cook with extra virgin olive oil, but that's actually not true. Extra virgin olive oil is going to be at least as heat stable as avocado oil, and this is due to the presence of about 15% saturated fat found in extra virgin olive oil. Now, saturated fat is a little controversial, But one thing that everybody pretty much agrees on is that it's very chemically stable. So when it comes to cooking and it comes to, sauteing foods and, using a little bit of a higher flame on our stovetop, saturated fat is very heat stable. So it's not going to oxidize the way other oils will. So extra virgin olive oil and avocado oil, yeah, I use to cook with. And again, I think they're both extremely safe. And also, it seems not just a neutral, fat, but fats that really seem to benefit our health.
Now, people who listen to this program or this podcast often know about the other 9 things that are important to preventing brain dysfunction, such as managing stress, doing the 4 components of physical activity, and speed of processing games. Where does the food choices fall in that list of, and giving obviously sleep, respect, avoiding toxins, where do food choices fit in that category?
That's a good question. I mean, you're 100% right in the fact that diet is important, but it's just one piece of the puzzle. We do have to consider the fact that chronic stress is an indiscriminate killer, that we're not sleeping properly. But I do think that nutrition plays a major role in our health. I mean, it's one of the major drivers of type 2 diabetes. It's, not the sole driver, but we're seeing soaring rates of in this country of obesity, of type 2 diabetes. And these are essentially lifestyle conditions driven by, eating diets that are very high in packaged processed foods and fast foods. Every single day, 1/4 of the U.S. population is dining on fast food. And so what this is doing to our waistlines is evident. But unfortunately, when it comes to the brain, if you have type 2 diabetes, your risk for developing Alzheimer's disease increases anywhere between 2 and 4-fold. So that's anywhere between a 200 and 400% increased risk for developing Alzheimer's disease if you are a type 2 diabetic, which, as I mentioned again, is a lifestyle condition. To the degree that researchers and clinicians alike are now referring to Alzheimer's disease as a form of diabetes of the brain. So nutrition plays a major role, and I don't think that it can be, appreciated enough just to the degree to which what we put in our mouths affect our brains.
Let me go after you on one issue that I want to take issue with, if you will.
Absolutely.
It relates to both egg yolks and grass-fed beef as well as cheese, although that isn't in the book. But the egg yolks and grass-fed beef, both have carnitine, lecithin, and choline in them in abundance, which changes the bacteria inside our gut, which is the most inflammatory substances we know. And it isn't the fat in them, it's the amino acids and proteins they come with. You seem to ignore, though, that data on the microbiome change. And granted that someday we will have something that we can give with those to negate that bacterial change, but right now we don't.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. And the compound that you're referring to is, it's represented by the acronym TMAO. And essentially what they found is that in mice and high grain consumers, the consumption of beef, and particularly an amino acid.
And it's in humans, by the way. There are now 5 large human studies that show it as well.
Right. So I talk about this actually in the book because I have a whole chapter on the microbiome, and it seems to me to be a context-dependent scenario where if you are consuming meat and junk food and fast food and, meat out of balance with other important aspects of the diet, then it shifts the microbiota into a direction that's going to produce more of this inflammatory compound. So if you are essentially eating lots of burgers and french fries and drinking soda and not eating very many vegetables to nourish the good bacteria.
Yeah, well, let me correct that. So let me correct you, Max, on that, since you probably don't know the data, but it is, we took a whole bunch of vegans who stayed on the vegan diet, except we gave them 6 ounces or 12 ounces or 18 ounces or 3 egg yolks a week, and it totally changed their microbiome, even though they were purely vegan or vegetarian in one case. So it isn't, it may be context specific and it may increase more, but it certainly radically changed their microbiome to just have a little, even grass-fed or omega-3-fed egg yolks. So although I think food is incredibly important, and Genius Foods has, I applaud you for the green leafy vegetables. I do want to say there is at least a controversy on the TMAO story and pretty good data that you can you should avoid. And I don't want our listeners to get the wrong impression. For the best brain, you want to avoid all red meat and all egg yolks. Egg whites are fine, obviously. We've been talking with Max Lugavere, who is the author of Genius Foods, a wonderful book, very well written, well researched, on the foods that help you stay with a happier brain while and protecting your brain for life. It is a New York Times bestseller. It is incredibly well written, nicely done. Thanks very much, Max.
Thank you. I value your time immensely. Thanks.
And thank you. We'll be back next week with a superb guest, Unsafe at Any Meal, What the FDA Does Not Want You to Know About the Foods You Eat. We didn't get a chance to talk to Max about heavy metals in foods, but we will with Dr. Renee Joy DeFault, who's our guest on segment 903B. Remember, the A segments are the news of the week and what they mean to you. The B are these wonderful guests that stimulate us so much. Thanks again for listening. And Ben, thanks for great engineering.